And that there were the sounds, dear listeners, of New Guinea with the song Tinate from the album Bar Mediterraneo. And obviously, welcoming you to this Sunday morning session here on your number one talkery station, that being Eagle FM. I welcome you to my Sunday morning take here as we, experience a not so chilly Sunday. If I'm even permitted to use the term chilly, because obviously it's still our winter season and that is actually our cold season. But nonetheless, this is actually the particular time frame, if you can say, of the first Sunday of the month, highlighting obviously, you know, but yeah, we're in the second half of the year, the month of July. There's still, five more months to go towards the end of what we called or of what we identified as 2025. And that's ultimately trying to achieve, you know, some of our particular annual goals, as we always do in terms of us, humans, you know, trying to go about our everyday activities. And that's also, you know, just sorting out some things. As we always do here on my Sunday morning take, we take a look at everything in history, everything in geography, a little bit of science, and a little bit of everything else in between, ultimately to understand, you know, the greater workings, developments, machinations around us in our broader society, and thus also in the discussions that we have here on a regular day at Eagle FM as well. Just before we start off, dear listeners, do remember that you can always listen to us on our Eagle FM application, which is free to download. Alternatively, there's always the radio frequencies. You know, consult our social media platforms in terms of where we've got the map of the frequencies. And you can listen to us on or through the website. That's depending on how strong your data plan is, your internet data plan from your service provider. That's obviously highlighting to you, you know, anytime, any place, you can just switch on and listen to us. There's also our podcasts on the website that are technically our archive in terms of if you wish to listen to previous sessions on Eagle FM from your favorite programs, your favorite listeners, you can always delve into it and have a listen there. Now, starting off in earnest with our discussion this morning, dear listeners, it is one based upon the most topical of them all for this year of 2025, which has been the aspect of artificial intelligence and ultimately the divide that is ever increasing. Now, the divide has in itself also been identified by the World Economic Forum. Now, let me also just once again put a peg in there in terms of just letting you know the World Economic Forum technically is a representation of the world's top economies, minus the Chinese and the Russians, also the Indians. The Indians do play a little bit of a role in the World Economic Forum, but predominantly it's a loose-knitted kind of a platform that was established by one economist for just, you know, his side of the world, not for the rest of us, which is the global south of the side of the world. Even though Namibia, we went there once, 2022? Yeah, 2022. We went there once. We were invited there. We're obviously not like a keen, you know, member that's always there every year. Now, the WEF itself has cited two particular problems. The divide that's taking place of the advanced economies and developed economies they're shifting into a new gear, whereas the developing economies have to play an even greater role in trying to catch up to the levels where these advanced and developed economies currently are. Now, our discussion for today, dear listeners, takes a look in three facets specifically to developments that are currently ongoing. One, firstly, highlighting and citing specifically the aspect in terms of why this particular divide is occurring and ultimately, you know, what is the suggestion being brought forward, because the WEF cites that the suggestion that they give is one based upon a perspective of policymaking that has to be focused on the society. The society, not on an industry. Now, let me just stop you there, dear listeners, because one of the key and focal things that I have highlighted a few times has been, for example, if you look at Namibia's economic reporting about its sectors or which industry is doing what, in many cases, it is reflecting to you a picture of, hey, look, this particular sector is doing this and this and this, and it's achieving these kinds of, you know, performance indicators that should highlight to you that, wow, the Namibian economy is resilient. But then when you go and walk on the street, you walk into society, you walk into your neighborhood, you walk down the street and you look at the services that are there, the availability of certain things that the everyday Namibian has access to, and then you actually derive the opposite conclusion of the first conclusion that I gave you, the one which is sectoral based and economy based versus the one in terms of what you see with your own eyes, what you interact with in your daily space, as well as also what you live, breathe, feel, eat, consume, and thus also, experience on a daily basis, you realize that's a complete opposite of it. It's the complete opposite of it. Now remember, at the heart of this talk, you have to keep in mind the first part that I'll just be delving into right now. And the first part in its own right specifically is something that speaks to the society. Now, in great length, our second part will technically take a look at a very worrying but unique development that is taking place specifically in the global technological employment space. This is predominantly employment indicators that come through from the global tech industry, but this is predominantly based upon a lot of American companies, or companies predominantly based in an American space. So I'm talking about the likes of OpenAI, Meta, Anthropic, Microsoft, there's another one here, Intel, Dell, Cisco, all these particular jobs, because there has been a trend that I've witnessed or observed on social media, specifically from the American space, where the Americans have been citing, that so many particular layoffs have been taking place in the tech industry in the US. And even though you've seen all these particular positive developments in terms of policy making from Donald Trump's government in America, regarding, absorbing and, what's the other word? And as well as also, trying to make use of the tech industry in terms of, improving government efficiency. But then obviously the scary story I heard was, well, it wasn't what I heard. It was what I saw being explained by his nickname is the so-called godfather of AI. His name is Geoffrey Hinton, and he's an Englishman, but he's one of the, he's supposedly one of the foremost minds that have researched and developed what we now know as generative AI or, Gen AI. He's been, the factor behind it, or one of the leading factors, because he also cites a whole bunch of people that I've never heard of myself. And these other guys are also sort of like foremost thinkers and foremost developers of what they call the neural network, which is technically the AI development has gone to a level where they're trying to replicate the human brain, because the human brain is the computing capacity that living organisms have. So it doesn't matter what animal species you're talking about, whether it's us humans or any of the other animal species in the animal kingdoms, they all have a brain. Now, that specific tech sector job layoff discussion leads us into our third part, which will be about what concerns Hinton has showcased. Because Hinton has worked for Google. And remember, Google is one of the multiple, Google has got a bunch of multiple AI development programs running, testing, being tested in your Gmail inbox. Yes. If you guys have never seen it, it's being rolled out there for some reason. I don't know why it's in my inbox, but you know what? It's something that was for free. It's been given to you. So there are certain allowances that you obviously have to, live with. Then you start seeing Meta's AI in your WhatsApp chats. If you guys haven't seen it, it's Meta AI. That's literally, it's a little ring hanging there in your chat. Another scenario is obviously all the other particular programs that have been rolled out across the internet everywhere else. And that is specifically the concerns that Hinton will be pointing towards and will be citing. In as much as that, dear listeners, we'll quickly be taking a short break and we'll be coming back right after that.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewetike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore ta timwe bali here di nola natu heali bali no heali ineko berewa bra hetatu natu bali o hetatu atatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Coming back there from the short extended break right there. And getting into where we left off, dear listeners, in terms of this morning's programming of My Sunday Morning Take, once again, welcoming you to this Sunday morning session. Yes, I know it's a little bit chilly in terms of, the weather and the climate, but this is obviously the middle of the year and this is our winter season predominantly. However, this is where we take a look at everything history, everything geography, a little bit of science and a little bit of everything else in between in order to understand the greater developments that are taking place. Now, our discussion for today, dear listeners, actually bridges across three of our, segments that I highlighted in that little explainer of my Sunday morning take. Specifically, we'll take a little bit of history, a little bit of it. But we also focus on a little bit of the other, which is predominantly a pretty broad landscape to operate from. And then finally, it's got a little bit of the aspect of science in it, because it's obviously based upon ICT technologies. Now, at the start of this year of 2025, obviously, when Helmut and I did the AI jobs report, which came from the World Economic Forum itself, which highlighted the future. Yeah, the report's name was The Future of Jobs. And it highlighted a list of careers that won't be here. Possibly they spoke about it in an aspect of the next 5 years. Which is obviously leading up to 2030, because there's a time frame off by 2030. But then Anthropic's CEO, Dario, I keep forgetting that guy's name. The Anthropic CEO, Dario himself, cited within the next year, So the time frame actually drastically changed within a span of 4 months, within a year. And Geoffrey Hinton himself, who is cited as the CEO of, not the CEO, the godfather of AI, actually concurs with that messaging from the Anthropic CEO by citing, yes, within the next 24 months, which is a year and a half to 2 years, you won't see certain jobs anymore, which will technically lead to a aspect of severe unemployment rates being spiked, or there will be massive spikes of unemployment rates across the world because of the developments that are taking place in the various AI aspects going on. So you've got generative AI, you've got large language models, which are LLMs, then you've got, there's another one that they also call it. But yeah, and all of these particular aspects are being deployed or being explored in whether or not they can do certain particular processing jobs around the world. Now, the World Economic Forum at the start of this year, when they had to, get all their reports ready and get it ready for the get together at Davos, which was taking place in Switzerland. Then they, obviously started flushing out all these reports and all these particular articles and discussions based upon their reports. One of them was based upon this particular subject matter that we're talking about today. We have this continuously dividing developmental picture, meaning that certain parts of the world are advancing at light years ahead in terms of where they are. However, we that still find ourselves here in the global south, we are just, bumbling along, stumbling along, twisting our tongues in between, because, we still have to discover how certain particular aspects impact certain particular scenarios in our economy or certain particular scenarios in our larger societies. And there is no clear indicator in terms of what the picture looks like. Now, they cited at the start of this year that the technological progress is reshaping industries and daily life, but its benefits are unevenly distributed, exemplified by the global digital divide. And you start from there firstly, the global digital divide. Hence the reason specifically where you still have a notion in terms of, how quickly can, for example, Namibia roll out national internet connectivity, to make ICT, certain ICT particular skill sets available in Namibia. And the downside is, dear listeners, there is no clear indicator of whether or not we'll be able to even achieve some of the things that we thought we could achieve 5 years back. Now, when I say that we thought we could achieve 5 years back, I'm literally talking about, if you guys still remember, the fourth industrial revolution discussion with the 4IR committee task force that was established by former President Geingob, as well as also what was meant to be achieved, because the AI discussion has completely taken that fourth industrial revolution in a completely different direction. Completely different direction. The reason why I cite it like that, take a listen specifically in the aspect of what I'm going to share with you now. The harnessing of emerging technologies like AI and automation can create jobs and foster inclusive prosperity, especially in the developing economies. However, here's the caveat. Inclusive, people-centered institutions are essential for leveraging technological advancements to promote equity, economic growth, and human development. But they're speaking about just institutions. People-centered institutions. The discussion technically is one point based upon being a people-centered economy. If you are going to produce something, you have to produce it with the idea that it is the human society that absorbs it and consumes it, sells it, buys it, speaks well of it, or completely sort of like, you know, tears it down in terms of criticism, in terms of that it's not good enough for what they bought the particular aspect for. And these are the particular indicators that has to be focused on. Why? Because they cite, that's not the WEF, that technological progress has been transformative in recent years. There has been an epoch-making breakthroughs, especially information and communication technologies. Solutions like AI, advanced robotics, and digital transformation are profoundly reshaping the industries in our daily lives, as well as also that they boost productivity across multiple sectors. Now, according to a report that was done by McKinsey, the consultancy company, an AI alone in the world can contribute to an additional $13 trillion in economic activity. Remember, it can contribute on itself $13 trillion globally. Guess how much value the international or the global economy currently is. The global economy is worth $85 trillion. Let's say it again. $85 trillion, and AI can contribute more than a tenth. More than a tenth. It can contribute literally more than a tenth of that $85 trillion. So more than 10%. Probably put it at almost 15%, for that matter. And that in itself should suggest to anyone else, you know, that, you know what, this speaks volumes. The volumes being cited is obviously the kinds of volumes that you don't see in an everyday scenario. You don't see it. Well, unless, you know, if you're obviously going to cite another particular indicator, for example, like our health minister that cited back in last month that she wants to see AI-powered ambulances. You know, I would have actually have gone for a program to say, hey, listen, we want more ambulance drivers. So if you have a legal or, you know, a legal license that is unendorsed with other particular negative aspects, come through. We need ambulances across the country, which is a sound initiative. I mean, ambulance drivers are a unique particular facilitator with the ambulance. You know, you can't just be an ambulance driver and you're given a donkey car to, you know, move about. No. An ambulance driver has to come with an ambulance, which is unique. It's a unique particular indicator. And to say you want AI powered, ambulances. Look, it's for a good. I understand it. It's for a good, but there are so many things before we even get there that Namibia lacks before you even get there. For example, self-driving cars even. Before you get there even, there's so many things that Namibia lack. So firstly, and now a consideration, dear listeners, you can scratch off AI-powered ambulances for now. You can scratch it off. You've got Namibians that live in rural areas, that live very far from urban areas, that have imbalances in population distribution. We can always go back to my good friends in Ngurunguru, specifically by where we have to look at the problem that they face as the only administrative, as the only urban center in the region of Kavango West, as well as also being the least densely populated, urban setting, in that region, because, you can somehow classify a village as an urban setting. You can. However, the colloquial, or not colloquial, but rather the advanced understanding in 2025 has been, if when you say urban, you are implying that there's at least, a local authority that's based in that village. And if there is no such local authority indicator, then it can't be classified as urban. For example, you get a village council of Kalkrant, and of Malteyeh, and of Gibeon. But I don't know of any other village council specifically in the Kavango West, which should obviously indicate to you that probably, you know, people aren't speaking there to their councillors or the governor to say, hey, listen, we need more village councils. But then what constitutes a village council? I'm slightly digressing, but that actually speaks to some of the particular developmental issues that Namibia uniquely sits with. Now, we're still going to stay in Kavango West, because here's where things get tricky. And I love using this particular example. It's based upon NSA data in the pre-census exercise that they did, the census mapping of the regions, as well as also the other particular census data that they cited specifically in terms of the census full report of 2023. That looked at the population distribution in the region of Kavango West. Ngurunguru is the only urban setting there. There's 123,000 people that live in that region. 11,000 of them live in Ngurunguru. Now, where is the other 110,000 people in the rest of that region? Where are they? Yes, you guessed it. They're in the rural area. They are literally somewhere there in the bush in Nkurunku, in Kavango West. They're literally somewhere there. Now here's the worst case scenario. The census mapping data, which literally comes before the census exercise could take place, which was that the NSA officials had to go throughout the whole country, and they went and looked at all buildings in an urban area. All buildings. They classified residential, they classified business, and they classified government. They cited and they indicated for a town like Ngurunguru, 90 to 95% of all the buildings there are government. Government owned. Local authority is government, so don't worry. Most of the establishments that have a building there that are not residential, 90 to 95% are government. Yes, you might find a shop there, but that would be the 1% out of all those formal building distributions in the town of Ngurunguru. Now, when I display a picture like that to you, you have to ask yourself, so 95% of the agencies, entities that employ people in that town are technically people that work for the state, that work for the government, that work for the public service, versus the presence of the private sector. Yes, you're right. Because here's the first and particularly odd question in terms of, so, you know, what's the developmental pathway of Ngurunguru? Because Ngurunguru is trying to establish its urban borders and its urban zoning. And since you look at that particular picture, you can forget about trying to understand how to roll out AI in Ngurunguru, because there's a lot of developmental issues firstly to satisfy, or firstly to solve, or firstly to resolve. Now, the outcomes of technology such as the rapid economic growth and in the improved quality of life in certain parts of the world, I say certain parts of the world, are not evenly distributed. While some nations are able to leverage the prowess of technology for their communities, others are ill-equipped to do so. One of the most glaring examples of technology leaving a vast part of the globe untouched is the digital divide. If you get into that indicator of going to look at Kavango West, and that is one of Namibia's big headaches in terms of our developmental agenda, because Kavango West, they are trying themselves. They are trying to reach a specific level, and they would like to get to a certain particular point. That particular specific kind of a point is how to achieve or to rapidly increase the necessary sort of like performance indicators that they've got for themselves. For example, the public engagement that the National Council Standing Committee had with the Ngurunguru Town Council's people, specifically where the town planner of Ngurunguru gave an explainer at the start, because her presentation was the one that I obviously observed, specifically where she noted that there's a big issue for the formalization of the town limits and the town zoning, because people that live in the town practice a format of subsistence agriculture, and they need to be made understood. They need to be informed and to be engaged and educated that you can, the moment that everything has been formalized in the town limits, you cannot go to any other land in the town and do an activity there without permission or having bought for or paid for it. And the current piece of land that you live on, you have to pay a sum of money to register it, and a sum of money to transfer that registration into your name. That's literally what the lady explained. I'm paraphrasing it there so that I can just summarize that particular example, but that's what she explained. And this is some of the particular issues that obviously, you know, makes the developmental pathway heavy, as well as also sluggish for many of Namibia's local authorities. There's a national agenda of development, but what's actually happening on the ground is meeting certain hurdles, bumping into certain particular roadblocks and issues and speed humps and speed bumps, because people on the ground, local Namibians, have to be explained what the developments are and what's going to happen. Now, the moment Ngurunguru formalizes its town limits, zones, borders, and all that, it will start charging water and electricity rates on community members in the town who never used to pay for certain things. They will. You can go to many of the other particular towns in Namibia that will obviously, you know, try to achieve certain particular developmental parameters, and it will be the same song over and over. There were certain things that people had that they didn't have to pay for, meaning they could go and chop down any trees for firewood and the likes. They could graze if they had livestock, they could graze the animals anywhere. If they had a plantation, they could try and grow it anywhere, whether it's right next to their dwelling or whether it's like 20 meters away from their dwelling. People were allowed. But there's a developmental agenda that Namibia is trying to achieve. Before I continue, dear listeners, we'll quickly take a short break, musical break, and we come back right after that.
Steady.
right there with the sounds of Keane with the song Put the Radio On, and ultimately it does bring us about 5 minutes past the top of the hour at 6 a.m. Remember, you and my company are here on my Sunday morning take from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. And ultimately, this is the aspect in terms of where we've been taking a look just before the musical break at some of the particular considerations that are being touted in terms of when you look at the digital divide that's creating a larger divide between the developing and the developed nations. The intention here is obviously one based upon an aspect of how can you potentially accelerate something or one of the particular aspects. And I highlighted to you what are some of the fundamental issues that Namibia technically struggles with. Go to Kavango West. Look at Nkurunkuru, look at the population distribution, look at all the other particular data sets that exist. It is problematic in certain particular aspects of Namibia. I say problematic. I don't say it's a huge problem, just problematic. When you step into the dimension that's sometimes being highlighted, because the outcomes of technology, such as rapid economic growth and improved quality of life, as mentioned, are not being equally distributed. Some nations obviously have to leverage the prowess of technology for their communities because they have, in many cases, the ability to leverage it, and they've already done their installations. They've developed their power generation capabilities. They now have an aspect in terms of just buying on extra resources in order to refine and thus produce better products or advanced products or refined products from a certain standpoint. And they are just moving forward. However, other countries are ill-equipped to do anything remotely close to what I just explained to you in terms of the rapid economic development that other places aren't seeing. One of the most glaring examples, as mentioned, of technology leaving a vast part of the globe untouched is the digital divide. When you take a look at high-speed internet in the developed countries, high-speed internet, I gave an example the other day, dear listeners, on the home run regarding something like FaceTime, which is an Apple service, an Apple application or product. Now, how this came about, obviously, is that a certain particular event happened at home, you know, at my home, and it was literally a scenario of my internet being used up quicker than than what I usually expected or anticipated to be, and one of the culprit reasons or problematic reasons for that were the reason for this particular quick usage or quick absorption or consumption of the internet bundles or the internet package was specifically because my niece was calling her sister in Germany and they were FaceTiming for more than an hour almost every day. Which is problematic because I did not know that one program could consume so much data in the span of 2 weeks, that it could consume so much data that it was so problematic. Now, why am I citing an aspect of internet consumption in this discussion of fourth industrial revolution? Is primarily because we still have to define and achieve what is the most or the best optimal position of high-speed internet in Namibia. Yes, many people would come and tell me, yeah, it's having a fiber connection directly to that high-speed connection, fiber connections that have been installed over the past 3 years by the various ICT companies. Sure, 100%. But I'm talking about something that a high-speed internet connection that connects Namibia to the rest of the world, that tries to put Namibia on a level of saying, you know what, we are comparable to some of the developed countries in terms of that. Or Is it a notion specifically of developing or installing more data centers? Because data centers are one of the particular scenarios in terms of that allows for the strength of an internet signal to not occur or suffer any latency. Thus, the signal continues and maintains its strength because you've got a relay station like a data center that allows for quicker or, you know, for the particular signal specifically to be maintained at a healthy level. Do we need more data centers in Namibia? The first question we'll have to answer is, will we need more data centers? Now, the downside is literally, dear listeners, is that the supposed benefits that exist from the technologies are education, health, and other aspects of economic advancement. But here's the thing. We haven't seen it yet in a developmental aspect. We haven't seen it yet in a developmental aspect. We've seen it in what is an advanced economy scenario. We've seen it in a consideration of potentially a developmented or a developed economy scenario. But we don't know what it looks like in a developing concept or in a developing economy scenario. You then step over into the next particular subject matter, which is the one based upon the aspect of creating people-centered institutions. Now, the people-centered institutions logic is one that is based upon technological advancements that alone cannot foster human progress. But this should have been said 10 years ago. This should have been said in 2020. This should have been said when many of these tech industries were, you know, starting to sort of like expand exponentially and then grow exponentially. This should have been the scenario back then. This should have been the scenario specifically when the likes of Netflix were starting to become hot properties internationally in terms of the kinds of companies it morphed into. It should have been said 10 years ago. Why? Specifically because there's a problematic scenario with the intellectual property around who's actually writing the script, who's the voice actor for, you know, in many of these particular cartoons and cartoon creations or animation productions that come through for children and for, you know, and other particular sort of like mature content. People's voices and the ability to voice act is being put under threat, and script writers are being put under threat. And these are some of the things that we don't see. These are information sets and data sets and stories and reports that you don't see in the foreground, that you don't see happening in your immediate sort of like awareness zone of awareness or peripheral zone of awareness in terms of citing, you know what? This thing looks problematic because look what it's doing to this sector. And it's impacting sectors. Look what it's doing to this sector. Now, the World Economic Forum states that it is essential to integrate these advancements with inclusive people-centered institutions that promote equity and opportunity for all. As demonstrated by a Nobel laureate of 2025, these are Nobel laureates in economics. They cite that these laureates, Darren Acemoglu, Simon Johnson, and James Robinson, have explained that societies with poor rule of law and exploitative institutions fail to generate sustainable growth or positive change. Poor rule of law and exploitative institutions fail to generate sustainable growth or positive change. Another aspect also to look at this is that only inclusive institutions that can promote economic growth as well as human development in all its dimensions, meaning, which is technically the SDGs in a layman's terms, freedom from hunger, ill health, and social deprivation, while also ensuring gender and income equality and access to quality education. But here's the thing. You need a budget. And a budget for government is derived from tax collection or revenues collection or, you know, all the other collectible mechanisms that are at the disposal of a government. Now, when we cite the human development consideration, the downside here is, dear listeners, it's not going to stop the rapid advancements that are still taking place. Why? Because it leads us into our next subject matter, into our next particular explainer. The explainer is based upon the technology jobs and the layoffs, meaning the retrenchments that have taken place since August of 2024. Now, August in 2024 actually saw the largest layoff, but it started a little bit earlier. And it is actually explained by many particular people in the games industry, yes, the video games sector, where this all first started. What did they cite? Well, there were so many TikToks and Instagram short videos based upon the layoffs that were taking place in the video game sector, which is a subsector of the tech sector, but it's also a subsector of the entertainment sector in the world. So, the layoffs actually began in 2023. Many people who were being employed in the game development sector were seeing that 6 months, 3 months, 4 months, 8 months, a year later, they're getting retrenched. Now, what happens is that even wherever you go, everyone cites the COVID-19 pandemic's impact. Is that during the COVID-19 pandemic, when the lockdowns occurred, many of the internet companies, as well as digital companies, as well as technology companies, realized there's so many people at home and they need some format of entertainment. And what happened is that many of these companies saw so many people started playing video games during COVID. And remember, some countries had COVID lockdowns up until the end of 2021, the start of 2022. Which obviously should tell you how long it was for those nations to try and combat, you know, the impact of COVID. From that setting that I just highlighted to you, the game sector immediately saw a rapid decline because in 2022, leading up into this direction of, you know, heading to 2025, countries then started, you know, lifting their lockdowns. People then started moving, getting out of the house, walking around in public, going back to work, you know, in terms of full-time roles, started enjoying life outside of home a lot more and savoring every moment of it. While that was busy happening, people were not consuming the technologies or the products or the services that they were consuming while they were in lockdown. So what does this lead to? It leads to that these same game companies, video game companies, realize, you know what, we've got to lay off more people. We've got to lay off the same people that we just hired 5 months back, 6 months back, a year ago. And they started doing this. So this is 2023. 2023, the gaming sector is continuously laying off people, flows into 2024. And in 2024, end of 2023, we hear about AI, and people are just shouting at the top of their lungs about AI. Now remember, I explained to you since 2024, these tech sector layoffs were happening. But the gaming sector's layoffs were happening a little bit earlier in 2023. So where are we? So since August of 2024, and this is from a platform known as TrueUp. TrueUp is a kind of a trend analysis website that cites, and it literally updates in real time, the amount of tech sector technology sector layoffs that have taken place in predominantly dear listeners. This is North America, Europe. This is not the whole world. North America, Europe. That's the vision. That's the perspective I'm giving you. Since August, I'm talking about companies like Intel, Dell, Cisco, Microsoft, Meta, Amazon. And Microsoft actually appears here three times. Panasonic from Japan. ST. I don't know where ST is from. I've never known that company. The computer company HP itself. All these companies have laid off people in the past year and a half in the technology sector. Now remember, at the start of our talk, the fourth industrial revolution is obviously about developing new jobs in the tech sector that Namibians don't have, or that there's not enough or too many Namibians presently occupying. But if the same tech sector from the world's leading countries are literally laying off 236,000 people since August 2024, yes, it's obviously spread out across, you know, a 12-month, which technically an 11-month period, you'll be asking a question of what's actually happening. It's actually a full year. It's actually a 12-month period. In August of 2024, 41,683 people were laid off, the highest in this 12-month period. And I'm sitting with a graphic in front of me because it looks pretty severe. September of 2024 saw 6,700. The lowest was 3,200 in December of last year. The highest of 2025 so far has been May, where 24,500 people were laid off. But here's where things get ugly. One company, Microsoft, has appeared four times since January to now, July. Why? Because at the start of this month, in last week, Microsoft announced they will be laying off 9,000 people in the Xbox division. In the Xbox division alone, they will lay off 9,000 workers. Now, allowing that to sit in, TikTok is also laying off people in, supposedly in July, because on the 2nd of July, TikTok said that it will make cuts. It will make more cuts to workers from its U.S. e-commerce division. Remember the continuous discussion based upon TikTok's existence in the American market, specifically as this as some sort of a witch hunt actually began last year and the year before, 2023, specifically accusing TikTok of being a proxy of China, whereas the man, the owner of TikTok, the CEO, is technically an American. The man has got an American citizenship. That's the downside to it. He also grew up, I think, in Singapore or in Malaysia, one of the two countries. Intel as well, the chip manufacturer Intel, indicated that 54 people will be laid off from it's only a statement they issued on the 2nd of July, but 54 people. The Microsoft layoff is about 4% of the overall Microsoft company's employee group or employee population. 9,000 people. 4% of your employee population. That's a lot of people. Obviously, other companies have highlighted, 75, 240 people, 140 people, 75 here from Google, 50 people from a company known as Sabi, which is commerce infrastructure, 101 specific company. So it obviously depended upon how big the company was and ultimately, what it looked like. Here's one other particular scenario that obviously looks just as bad. Back in June of last month, Sony, the technology conglomerate company. They confirmed layoffs at one of the video game studios or developing studios, known as Bend Studio. 33% of that company will be laid off. And this is all in the tech sector. Other particular companies, obviously, you know, once again, 150 here, a 52 there, a 30 there, all these particular indicators. Now this particular development is one that should tell you, dear listeners, that at one stage, Namibia might get there. I say at one stage, we might get there. The downside is, we don't know what the steps are in between to get to that stage. But before we continue, dear listeners, we're going to take a short break and we can come back right after this.
Oh, look what you're doing to me. How much do they have your will? All of my defenses down. Your camera looks through me with its x-ray vision, and all systems run aground. All I can manage to push from my lips is a stream of absurdities. Every word I intended to speak winds up blind in the circuitry. No way to control it, it's totally automatic. Whenever you're around, I'm walking around folded, completely automatic. All of my systems are down, 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 down. Automatic. What is this madness that makes my motor run? My legs too weak to stand. I go from sadness to exhilaration like a robot at your command. My hands perspire and shake like the leaf up and down goes my temperature. I summon doctors to get some relief, but they tell me there is no
I'm walking my golden.
Now coming back there from the sounds of the Pointer Sisters with the song Automatic, that ultimately brings us closer to the last 20 minutes of this morning session of my Sunday morning take. And we're about, it's still pretty dark outside in terms of this early morning session, but nonetheless, that's what we always do here on your Sunday mornings. We sort of like break in the new day for you in terms of the programming, where you always start off here with my Sunday morning take in terms of getting into the groove of the rest of your programming for your Sunday sessions. Now, from the layoffs discussion, ultimately, that I cited just before the musical break, we actually have to step into the most important part in terms of one of the subject matters that I actually recently also observed. That was in a podcast. It's a very famous podcast, if you guys remember it or know about it. It's the one known as The Diary of a CEO, hosted by that specific gentleman who himself is a entrepreneur. If I can say entrepreneur, because obviously, he's been doing his own thing. And in terms of that, his name is Stephen Bartlett. That's the guy that produces the Diary of a CEO podcast. And Bartlett recently interviewed, and when I say recently, the video actually came out yesterday or the day before, Friday or Saturday. He interviewed the guy that is known as the godfather of AI, Jeffrey Hinton, or, the way it's written, you can technically say Joffrey, but Jeffrey Hinton. I don't want to say Joffrey because then it might, your mind, your memory banks might jump back to Game of Thrones, and then you would think it's the little Baratheon king, the guy that was the most cruel character throughout the whole scenario, Joffrey Baratheon. But no, I'm not going to pronounce his name like that. Even though you can read his name like that, that's not Hinton's name like that. His name is Jeffrey Hinton. Now, Hinton is a computer scientist. If you don't know what a computer scientist is, computer scientists are the kind of application and software developers that they go and research, develop, and then they continuously just release all these, research papers and the likes. So, Hinton recently mentioned in that podcast in A Diary of a CEO, specifically that, since he left Google, he is actually advocating, for a very highly regulated, strict use of AI. Let me say that again. Hinton said he is advocating for a highly restrictive, highly regulated use of AI. Why? Because back in 2023, Hinton started speaking up about the risks of artificial intelligence. Specifically, that he expressed concerns about the rapid progress of AI. Hinton had previously believed that artificial general intelligence, AGI, was 30 to 50 years away. But back in March of 2023, in an interview he did with CBS, which is an American broadcasting company, he stated there that general purpose AI, might be fewer than 20 years away and could bring about changes that are comparable in scale with the Industrial Revolution or like electricity's discovery and introduction. Another interview he did with the New York Times in May of 2023, also Hinton announced his resignation from Google, so he could talk about the dangers of AI without considering how this impacts Google. He noted, quote, "A part of him now regrets his life's work," end of quote. Now, if you don't know what that sounds similar to, it literally sounds similar to the discussion that Helmut and I had on the home run, where Anthropic's CEO, the gentleman by the name of Dario Amodei, also himself started speaking up against the same product that he is in charge of. He's the CEO of Claude. He's the CEO of Anthropic that owns Claude, the AI program. Now, Amode and Hinton themselves obviously have, if you can call it this, they've been the guys that have been staring down the abyss of what they have been in control of. Not the rest of the world has been in control of. They have been in control of it. They developed these particular programs. Not the rest of the world. They did it. I'll tell you today, guys, I didn't invent an AI program. I probably contributed somewhere, somehow to it. I know of that part. You probably also did the same, listening out there. For those of you guys that love just, you know, citing ChatGPT as if ChatGPT is an authority on anything, ChatGPT just goes and gets the resources and gives you a condensed, summarized answer. It's not ChatGPT doing the work. You're supposed to still put in the work. Now, the downside of all of this indicators is literally that Hinton himself is literally advocating for things that we have not seen yet. Why? Still in 2023, Hinton said in an interview then at that time also with the BBC that AI might soon surpass the information capacity of the human brain, which is a little bit difficult to grasp because no one knows what the storage capacity of the brain is. No one knows. It has infinite storage capacity. And remember, you store heavy file formats if we need to sound like that. What am I indicating? Well, the human brain is storing sensory information, and this is all in visuals, meaning in pictures. So it's, if you translate that into the, you know, the computerized language in terms of explaining what that means. If you just think to yourself how big a photo is, how big a video is, how big a sound file is, depending on the sound files, depending on the video files, depending on the picture file formats, in many cases, the human brain is storing large amounts of data contained in these kinds of data sets in your brain. And it is for as long as you're alive. So, Hinton also described that some of the risks that were posed by these chatbots that he helped develop are quite scary. Hinton has explained that chatbots have the ability to learn independently and to share knowledge, so that whenever one copy acquires new information, it automatically disseminates it to the entire group, allowing these AI chatbots to have the capability to accumulate knowledge far beyond the capacity of any individual. In 2025, though, Hinton said, "My greatest fear is that in the long run, it'll turn out that these kinds of digital beings we are creating are just a better form of intelligence than people. We'd no longer be needed. And if you want to know how it's like not to be the apex intelligence, ask the chicken." End of quote. Now, he literally used that same sentence in the Diary of a CEO interview. What does it feel like? And he said, you gotta go ask the chicken. I can explain to you what he means by that, but the chicken technically also evolved into its form. But yeah. Now, Hinton has also expressed concerns about the possibility of AI takeover, stating that it's not inconceivable that the AI could wipe out humanity. Yes, we could have a Terminator movie scenario. And Hinton also stated back in 2023 that AI systems capable of intelligent agency would be useful for military or economic purposes. Yes, they keep advocating for the agency of AI, but the downside here is, dear listeners, there's another dimension we have not even factored in yet, which is that based upon that malicious actors or characters can also use AI to hack other AI. AI can hack other AI. I mean, one of Hinton's particular statements was that AI can be used to develop one of the nastiest, not just digital viruses, but also real-world viruses. And we just came out of a pandemic in 2020. He said AI can be used for that. which is one of the examples that Helmut himself also cited here on our discussion on the home run, specifically of a guy that just rephrased his questioning in terms of understanding what not to use that could probably potentially be seen as an explosive device. And voila, you sit there with the whole recipe. Now, much of Hinton's concerns have been about risks, people that have malicious intent, as well as also the potential unseen or unforeseen problem areas or problems in future. For example, relying too heavily on a system that it leads to it governing your whole life, which is problematic. Relying on a particular computerized system that ultimately also leads to you being completely dependent upon it for your life. Also problematic system. Now, Hinton has said that AI systems may become power-seeking or prevent themselves from being shut off, and not because programmers intended them to be that way, but rather because those sub-goals are useful for achieving later goals. In particular, Hinton has said, we have to think hard about how to control AI systems capable of self-improvement. Now, there's been another particular subject matter of misuse, of risk, of other risks. He has indicated his concerns, that's now Hinton, about the deliberate misuse of AI by malicious actors, stating that it is hard to see how you can prevent the bad actors from using AI for bad things, because in 2017, he called for an international ban on lethal autonomous weapons. Now, the economic impacts obviously are concerning, because they are the ones that the world is trying to chase. They're the ones that obviously want to see more of the positives flourishing in the human society because of AI's rollout, where it seems like that it could be ignored, the potential risk factors and the potential nasty factors, that the same programs and the same platforms can also pose, but rather that, you know, it's, you know what? Let's first achieve the economic benefits. Let's first achieve the economic, positives to uplift all of society across the world. But don't worry, we will ignore the negatives for now. As we're about 9 minutes out from the close of this morning's program, the key takeaway from this has been, dear listeners, that you can never ignore the words that come from someone that has worked in the sector for so long. Almost 40 years, he said. For so long. For so long. The downside is, this has been someone that has been in the early formats and the early stages of Silicon Valley. This is someone that has been in the early formats and early stages of the tech industry developments. This is someone that has seen the internet bubble of the 90s, that has seen all kinds of ups and downs and trends that happened and occurred within the global, scenario of the world, as well as also the American and the European scenario of the world. The downside is you can't discredit what this particular resource is saying and citing. Yes, in some cases, it sounds like we could be potentially close to a Terminator type of Armageddon-based scenario. Not that I also believe in it, but there's the thing. I also don't know everything to just, bravely state it won't happen. Here's the concern. So far, only the EU are the only country that has AI regulations. No one else has AI regulations. Only the EU has AI regulations. The Americans want to remove as much regulations from their sectors. They are willing to remove regulation and regulators to achieve whatever kind of international advantage in terms of AI development. The downside is, if you remove a regulator's ability to regulate, the question then becomes, how much damage will you allow in? And on that note, specifically, dear listeners, it does bring us up to the end of this morning's program here on My Sunday Morning Take. This has been My Sunday Morning Take, where we take a look at everything history, everything geography, a little bit of science, and a little bit of everything else in between here on your Sunday mornings. Do stay tuned for the next program to come in after the musical break, because we'll technically also be ending at 7 a.m. And on that note, do enjoy the rest of your Sunday mornings in our company. As always, let's see each other again, same time, same place next week, or alternatively during the course of the week, always on The Home Run, where Helmut and I obviously break down some of the insightful talking points, and which have direct bearing and direct impacts on your daily lives. On that note, let's take a listen to some music.
Ride the waves,
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite okoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo, otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa vera hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM VI.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impact? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for...
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Always, always prepare. Paratus. Done for 6 months subscription and...